The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
It's on that day. But Father God, we don't need to wait until then. We can confess right now. You are our Lord, our Savior, our King, and our Redeemer. As a matter of fact, oh God, this is your house. We are your people. This is your ministry. We want you to just have your way in this place. And so, Father God, we invite you in. We want you to set up and dwell in this place, in the praises of your people. We have so much to praise you for. We have so much that we are thankful for. And we celebrate today your triumphant entry into Jerusalem. She went to enact the plan of salvation, and for that we say thank you. So, Father God, on this day, on the day that you've made, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Forgive us for our sins, our weaknesses, our shortcomings. And, Lord, we thank you for good, how good you've been, and for how good you are, and for how good you shall be. We thank you for every blessing that has been shared, every breakthrough that has happened on this week. And even now, to God, we ask that you would help somebody to be loosed right now in the name of Jesus. Speak to somebody's heart right now in the name of Jesus, because we're going to hear from the word that somebody needs to see you for themselves. It's in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you would continue to do so. It's going to make sense to you in a minute. It's going to make sense to you in a minute. We cannot afford not to give God praise. John 12, someone said the word of God will come, starting with the 12th verse this morning. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version, it says, the next day, when the large crowd who had come to the Passover feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees in homage to him as king and went out to meet him. And they began shouting and kept shouting, Hosanna, blessed, celebrated praise. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, just as it is written in Scripture, do not fear, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's coat. His disciples did not understand the meaning of these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified and exalted, they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. So the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to tell others about him. For this reason, the crowd went to meet him, because they heard that he had performed this miraculous sign. Verse 19 says, then the Pharisees argued and said to one another, you see that your efforts are futile. Look, the whole world has gone running after him. Watch this. Then in verse 20, it says, now there were some Greeks, some Gentiles among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. I believe that that verse in the King James says, sir, we would see Jesus. But in the New King James and just about every other translation, it says, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Listen, regardless of what translation you read these verses, there are some people in this passage who wish, come on somebody, to see Jesus. In other words, if I can see Jesus, then I can see who I'm supposed to be. Come on, somebody. I need you to help me this morning or this afternoon and turn to at least three people and say, sir or madam, I don't know who you're talking to. Sir or ma'am, say, I don't know why you came to church, but we wish to see Jesus. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody else. Say, sir or madam, I don't know why you came to church, but we wish to see Jesus. Tell somebody else. Say, neighbor, I don't know why you came on today, but we wish to see Jesus. God Almighty. Hallelujah. God Almighty. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Listen. Why you came. But I join in with those who wish to see Jesus. Amen. Listen, listen, listen. As we all know, today is Palm Sunday. It marks the beginning of Holy Week. Today is the day we remember the first Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Greeted by cheering crowds, Jesus was celebrated as king while riding atop a lowly donkey. Crowds cried out, Hosanna, which was a plea to be saved. As we watch him enter Jerusalem, we know he is about to enact the divine work of salvation, but not as a reigning earthly ruler, Lord, preach in this house. He answers the cry to save as a beaten and disfigured man, counted among criminals in a horrifying death. This is the ironic harmony of Palm Sunday, for it is also called Passion Sunday in some churches throughout the world. For on today, when we read of Jesus worshiped and honored with palm branches, today is also the day that marks the beginning of the last week of our Lord here on earth, when we take time to reflect on his passion, his torture, his suffering, his death. The kingly greeting in Jerusalem led to his coronation with a crown of thorns and a mocking sign, King of the Jews, placed above the cross. Shouts of Hosanna were replaced with cries of crucify, and with jeers as he hung on the cross. Palm Sunday leaves us much to consider, for it is not a day that we ought to look at in isolation, but it's a day of momentum, if you will, compelling us forward in shock and wonder toward the cross on that Good Friday, and then the true Hosanna to the empty tomb on Resurrection Sunday. Now, this account, my brothers and my sisters, of this first Palm Sunday is actually recorded in all four of the Gospels. It's in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. It's in Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. It's in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. And it's actually here in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. In each account, they tell of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And there were many people following him with palm branches, shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Verse 13, in the Amplified says, they took branches of palm trees and homage to him as king and went out to meet him. Watch this. And it says, and they began shouting and kept shouting. See, some folks shout and they get tired. The Bible says they shouted and kept shouting, Miller. Hosanna, blessed with your celebrated praise. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Ah, but But here in John's account, watch this. Not in Matthew, not in Mark, not in Luke, is a sliver of scripture found here in John 12, starting at the 20th verse, where it is written, now there was some Greeks, some Gentiles, among those who were going up to worship at the feast, Sister Stephanie. These came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now, that struck me because just like in our churches every Sunday, there were many people who came on that first Palm Sunday. And just like in our churches every Sunday, there were those on that first Palm Sunday who came, watch this, as spectators, some as hypocrites, some others as skeptics, some as doubters, and even some scoffers. But also in the midst of that congregation, Clark, there were then, as there is now, a few select folk who came and who came only for one reason. And that is, Brown, to see Jesus. That is to worship the Most High God. They didn't come to spectate. They didn't come to criticize. They didn't come to impress anybody with their new hat, the new suit, the new dress, or the new shoes. They just came to worship. Need to ask the question. I know I kind of saw a few of it, but is there anybody in here right now who just came to worship? Come on, somebody. Is there anybody in here who just came to glorify God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth? The Bible says these Greeks came to worship, but they knew, hear me today, they knew, Clark, that if they were really going to worship, here's the teaching, they were going to worship, but they knew if they were really going to worship that they needed to see Jesus. And my brothers and my sisters, if you and I are really going to worship, I don't care how loud we turn up the organ, I don't care how hard we beat the drums. If we are really going to worship today or any other day, then you and I, we need to see Jesus. King James Version says, sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now, admittedly, Sister Miller, I can't say that I've ever really paid attention to these verses, 20 and 21, because whenever I read the account in the Gospels, I've always stopped at the end of the sectioned account. If you've got a Bible, it kind of sections things off, kind of says, you know, this is what's happening here, this was happening there. But so I've always stopped. But since the Holy Spirit had me read these verses, and since it brought to my attention, it's actually brought a great conviction to my soul. It has convicted me because we as the church universal, and myself included as a minister of the gospel, have to admit that we have failed to some degree to present to the world the Jesus of the Bible. Lord, help me to stand tall in this place. Somebody saying, what do you mean, Pastor King? Well, here's what I mean. We have preached organizations and denominations. We preached religion and traditions. We preach rules and regulations. We preached God's blessing plan. We've preached the steps through your to your breakthrough or the keys to the miracle. But my concern today, Brown, is that we have preached the Bible so well, but we failed to preach Jesus. Keeling, somehow Jesus has gotten covered up by our dogmas and our creeds. We've gotten so enamored with the privileges and the blessings of being a child of God that we've forgotten or at least misplaced the Jesus of the Bible. I mean, for as much as we talk about the drop in attendance, it's pretty much affecting churches across the board, and we talk about how we can get things turned around. For as much as we talk about the generational gap and the lost generation of the millennials and how we can go about trying to win or to bring them back, for as much as we talk about the political landscape and what's happening in our nation and which group to be in control and which person or person should lead, well, all of those things are of some importance to us. What we are missing, however, is in these days, the Bible is showing us a cry that is coming from human hearts. And the cry is, sir, ma'am, we wish to see Jesus. Fitzgerald, listen, I'm being recorded. I love our church. I believe in the doctrines and the teachings of our church. I believe in the godly traditions and the practices of our church. But the one thing we must not forget, nor should the Church Universal ever forget, is that the head of our church and the Church Universal was and still is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not religion, tradition, or doctrines that's going to save the lost. It's not all of that. That's not going to heal. That's not going to heal the sick or set the captives free. No, it's the living Savior whose name is Jesus. Jesus, he's the Savior. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the baptizer through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that it's a crying shame that so many in the body of Christ have lost sight of Jesus. Listen, not only have they lost sight of Jesus, even worse than that, is the fact that so many don't even realize that they've lost their vision. I didn't say they've stopped coming to church. They've lost sight of Jesus. And maybe even worse yet is that so many have allowed other things to displace their vision that they would rather have religion than Jesus. Can I preach in this house? Listen. There are those in the body of Christ who would rather have traditions than Jesus. Ronnie, they would rather have blessings than Jesus. I find it amazing. As much as folk talk about prosperity, they would rather have prosperity, but they don't want Jesus. Huh? Folk want healing, but they don't want Jesus. Folk want power, but they don't want Jesus. People want peace and joy, but they don't want Jesus. Folk want ease and comfort and relaxation. They want to drink coffee and lemonade in the church house, and we let them, but they don't want Jesus. I contend that we will see a great revival in the body of Christ when the heart cry of the church is, we wish to see Jesus. When the church, hear me today, when the church can no longer be satisfied or pacified with anything less than a fresh vision or a fresh anointing or a fresh manifestation of the presence of Jesus, then we might have a great revival. Around the world today, churches are shutting down, locking their doors. Organizations are dying. People are leaving the churches and going into a new age of occult practices and sinful lifestyles. As a matter of fact, when you have time, Google CNN, and they'll tell you how the group of Catholics is actually now matching up, or the group of Protestants and evangelists are matching up now with the same amount of folk who are atheists. Amen. All of that is happening, and you gotta ask yourself why. My conviction on today is, I believe it's a large degree because we as the church, ministers of the gospel, have failed to present Jesus to those very people. Jesus said, if I, he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. He didn't say, lift up your church or your denomination or your organization or your doctrine. Lord, help me today. He didn't say, lift up your religion or your traditions or your philosophies. He said, lift me up. He said, talk about me. He said, witness about me. He said, preach about me. He said, teach about me. He said, sing about me. He says, let me live in your testimony. Have you ever listened to some testimonies? Folk talk about everything around the world, and you don't hear nothing about Jesus. He says, let me live in your testimony. Watch this. He said, let me live in your preaching. You ever listen to some preaching, you say, what did I just hear? What are we talking about? I don't want y'all to be concerned about anything. We're talking about Jesus this morning. Come on, somebody. He says, let me live in your preaching. He says, let me live in your singing. Let me be the main attraction. Let me be the reason that you gather together. He says, then I will draw all men unto me, and your churches won't die, but they'll come alive with resurrection power. Come alive, and they won't empty out, but they'll fill up, watch this, with hungry, thirsty, broken, hurting, and needy people who come in demanding, we would see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Matter of fact, we need to see, we demand to see Jesus. And you best believe if they don't see it, they going somewhere where they do. Folk are saying today, don't just tell me a story. Don't just tell me a story from the Bible. Don't just show me pictures of who Jesus is. They saying, preacher, take me to Jesus. Pastor, take me to Jesus. Evangelist, take me to Jesus. Christian friend, take me to Jesus. Listen, if we can't take a soul who is lost to Jesus, then we failed in our mission. That's why you got a whole lot of churches holding church, but Jesus has left the house. Because we've made this more about ourselves and about stuff than about him. And we serve a God who is not going to force himself on anybody. He will stand at the door and knock, but he's not going to kick the door in. But unfortunately, there's some doors he ain't kicking in that's got padlocks on them. I mean, if we can't take the bound and the oppressed, the sick and the diseased to Jesus, then we failed at our mission. Dad, I know you dealt with the doctors, and I know you believed in your treatment, but I know who you give thanks and credit to. At the end of the day, Jesus is my healer. Jamon, I know you've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And sometimes Jesus was all you had to hold on to. But if we tried to give you anything else, there's no way you could have hung on that long. Listen, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he said, I'm determined. He says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Listen, we spend so much time trying to impress folk with our education, with what we know, with what we want to talk about, we want to share, we want to contribute, and that's all right. But Paul was a highly educated man. Listen, I know we want to be spiritual. Paul was deeply spiritual. But with all his wisdom, all his knowledge, and with all his spirituality, he determined to hold himself to the preaching of Christ. He determined that he would hold himself to preaching the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection Jesus Christ, and him coming to rule and to reign again through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 1, 16 through 17, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation. That's it. That's the gospel. This salvation is all inclusive. It's healing for our body. It's deliverance to the bound. It's peace. It's blessings. It's wholeness. We don't need the gospel just to get saved by. We need the gospel to live by every day. That's how we have 365 days of possibilities. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Listen. The gospel of Christ, what is it? The gospel of Christ is the life he lived, the death he died, and the victory that he had over Satan's kingdom by his resurrection and the ascension to the right hand of God, the throne of God. But don't forget, he's coming back again. He's coming back to rule, and he's coming back to reign. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through everyone who believes. Listen, there's probably no other place in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, I get it, but there's probably no other place in the Bible where we find the life of Christ more fully revealed than in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you and I must present to the world and to the church the Jesus of the Bible. As I get ready to close, listen, this Jesus of the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When the sinner sees Christ dying on the cross for his or for her sins, and he or she accepts him as their sin substitute, they shall be saved. When the sick and the afflicted see him at the whipping post, taking those stripes for their healing and for their deliverance, they recognize that Jesus suffered in their place, that he took on their sickness and their diseases, that he carried their sorrows, and they accept that by faith, then they can be healed. When believers see Jesus raised from the dead, having put their sins away and coming to live in them through the power of the Holy Spirit, then they will enter into the blessings, the benefits of the Christian life that was purchased for them by the blood of Jesus through the atoning substitutionary work of Christ. Listen, without Jesus, there is no singing. We can have a bunch of songs, but there's no singing. Without Jesus, there's no preaching. There can be a whole lot of pontificating, but there's no preaching. Without Jesus, there's no teaching. There's a whole lot of this, what it means to me, but without Jesus, there is no gospel. The world is dying, but they're dying to hear the gospel, Jesus Christ. And guess what? We have the answer. As a matter of fact, we have the only answer. And his name is Jesus. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? That cry from the soul of the earth that says, sir, ma'am, child of God, my heart is crying out. We would see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus. The question that becomes the convicting question for all of us is, who's going to take the blind sinner by the hand and lead them to the Savior? Who is going to take the sick and the afflicted, those who are suffering and bound, and lead them to the healer, lead them to the deliverer, lead them to the miracle worker? The answer is this. It's those who have seen Jesus. Those who live with the revelation of Jesus before their faces, and who are not ashamed to talk about Jesus and display Jesus in their lives. We wish to see Jesus. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.